It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we're less than a week away from the general election. We'll get the latest election news from Harry Enten of 538.com.
First, a racist costume at the Badgers game in Madison this weekend has gotten national attention and led to outrage in the community. The controversial costume included a Barack Obama mask and a noose around the person's neck.
The noose costume led to several statements from UW-Madison administrators, including one in which campus officials said they asked the man to take off the noose and that the display was an expression of offensive but protected free speech.
Alex G. just wrote an open letter to UW-Madison about the institution's reaction to the costume. He joins us now to talk about it. You can find a link to that piece on the Central Time Facebook page. Alex G. is pastor at the Fountain of Life Covenant Church in Madison and founder and CEO of Nehemiah. He's also the chair of the Justified Anger Coalition. Reverend G., welcome back to the show.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you for your invitation.
As we mentioned, this costume got national attention. What was your reaction when you first saw this news?
I was embarrassed for my campus. I was appalled by the thought that we're going to protect this person's right when we consider the seriousness of the sign or the symbol of a noose and what it means to Black Americans, what it means to our country, and to see it treated with just with such ease and what I call a slap on the wrist approach, I was fuming. And I'm also a dad of a UW Madison junior. I'm furious. I'm upset. I'm embarrassed. I'm disgusted. I could go on and on and on, but I'm feeling very strongly about this.
Talk about the symbolism of the noose. If people might think noose bad, but maybe not how bad a symbol that is.
Well, the noose historically was meant to really to curb insurrection. It wasn't widely used. Hanging and lynching was not widely used during slavery because the chattel property of the slaves were considered, they were valuable. But after slavery, as Blacks began to create HBCUs, historically Black colleges and universities, sororities, fraternities, churches, organizations, being elected to the Congress, the pushback during Jim Crow was to hang and to lynch African Americans, and men and women. If I may just be gruesome to the point of cutting open pregnant women's stomachs until their babies fell out, cutting off the genitalia of men and passing it around the crowd, burning people, dragging them through the streets, and then leaving them to hang on streets, on trees, in order to say to other innovative, sharp, brilliant Blacks, if you try to be too uppity, if you try to get your own business, if you try to vote, this is what you're going to get as well. And so to call that free speech is just to say a swastika or something else like that. It's just child's play. It's just guys playing. This is horrible, and it has evoked all kinds of emotions that we would expect the university to squash and to stand against. I think that they protected the wrong people Saturday night. I think the university protected the wrong people. And the thrust of my article was, you think this is free speech? It's more costly than you realize.
A lot of people do argue that even the most offensive speech, up to and including swastikas, it may be offensive, may be horrible, but we need to protect even things that are offensive and unpopular. You think that in a situation like a UW, a campus stadium, that there can be specific limitations on that kind of speech?
Oh, definitely. I think. Whoever makes those rules can be fickle. They can help to decide what's offensive because the noose means nothing to them, so they can say this is not offensive. But I was on a radio interview today with a young African-American man, Mr. Pickett, who was told that his shirts and his designs were offensive, and his Facebook account was shut down, and he didn't feel protected by the campus. And so I guess it depends on who's speaking, because it is not unilaterally accepted that what you say is protected by free speech, because certain people who look a certain way, who say certain things, don't necessarily get the same protection.
Talking to Reverend Alex G., pastor at the Fountain of Life Covenant Church in Madison, talking about his open letter to UW-Madison officials about the costume involving a Barack Obama mask and a noose got national attention when worn at a Badger football game this weekend. You raised the concern of recruiting students of color after incidents like this get so much attention. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I'm a former UW undergraduate recruiter. I did that in the late 80s. And I remember after the incident of the blackface slave auction that took place on campus in 88, I remember students walking away from my booth in Chicago saying, oh, yeah, you're that school that had the slave auction. It's so easy to say that students of color from urban areas don't have the academic rigor to handle a campus like Madison. We don't really own the type of image that we let hang out there. And I'll be honest with you. My daughter's on an academic scholarship. She is a Nat Powers scholar. She's brilliant. She takes after her mom. I'm proud of her. But if my daughter came home at the end of the semester and said, Dad, I can't do this anymore. I need to go someplace else. Even though it means coming out of my pocket for tuition, I would support my daughter. So I'm not just talking about the recruitment of unnamed black kids in Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta. I'm talking about how I, as a dad of a current UW student, is thinking, did I really do best by my daughter by helping to encourage her to go to a school where her grandmother, her dad, her mom, her uncles, her cousins, all matriculated? And so I'm now questioning myself, have I set my daughter up for this type of psychological ramifications? Because I love the religious, I love the academic rigor of the campus, but I had no idea that what my daughter would face would far outweigh any racist insensitivity that my mom experienced in 1970 and 71. The city and the campus embraced her with open arms. I'm having to talk my daughter off the ledge at least once or twice a semester because of comments being made by students in her classes.
Yeah, you referenced the mock slave auction as one other bad spot in UW-Madison race history. This, you write in your piece that this incident at the game, this is not a one-off. This is not the first time.
No, it's not, because I mentioned a program that I was a part of on campus, the Academic Advancement Program. I remember when there were death threats against the staff and bomb threats against their facility. They actually moved out of their facility into South Hall. I remember when that happened. In my opinion, that program can never gain the initial sheen it had when it was recruiting students of color and getting them into this campus in great, great numbers. It dispirited the people. So when you show a noose or talk about threatening, folks tend to believe it, because in the past, when people say they're going to do something, they do it. It wasn't like a sign of someone just saying, you know, we don't like you, N-word, or we don't like, that's a little something different. The sign of a noose around the neck of a sitting president who happens to be black, what's that saying to the black students on the field and their parents who have traveled to watch them, you know, play? And to call this all free speech, and it's just we don't want to impede anyone's, you know what they want to say, what they want to do, then give us the names of the people the way they did Pickett when he made his shirt that talked about whites being racist. And let's give it fair, the fair treatment. But from my perspective, it is not fair. The rhetoric is old. We've had enough photo ops. There are enough smart people on that campus to figure out how do we turn this around. Because right now, there's a huge publicity problem, which is way more costly than coming down hard on that person who came in there and thought that they could do that in our stadium and have it become national news. I'm embarrassed.
A lot of reaction this week, in addition to the piece you wrote that we mentioned, 100 and over 150 African-American alumni wrote a petition to UW administration asking them to deal with this. I believe there's a community meeting going on, some contacts going on this afternoon. What are you looking for from UW-Madison? Who are you hoping takes leadership on this?
I'm hoping the chancellor and the Board of Regents take direction. And I'll be honest, I keep giving this analogy that when I go to get an x-ray, I don't expect the x-ray tech to give me a prognosis or to tell me how the treatment's going to happen. They identify an issue. One of the problems for me in Madison is that you open your mouth to say, ouch, this hurts or this is bad, that people want you to suggest what happens. We have built a national reputation, an international reputation of fixing issues, setting social policy, working with vitamin D. We have known by our Wisconsin idea The university can figure this out. I'm not going to start laying out bullet points for what they need to do, because the Holly Report said it in 87. The Madison Plan addressed it in 88. The groups of students who were called the Chicano Students Association, I believe it was, in the 70s, had a document. We've been telling people, we do a little bit, we can't find people, we can't recruit them, we can't keep them. The university knows what to do. The question is, are they going to hire the people, put the resources into doing this, making people accountable, not putting this only on the shoulders of people of color, but white leadership of the university taking ownership into this? Are they going to really own this as a collective problem so that they have a collective solution? Are they just going to keep pushing it to their black and brown special assistants to them to handle this? They've got to come off their perch and out of the ivory towers. They've got to connect with the community, and they've got to make change fast, because we don't have 20 or 30 years for them to get this together.
Are you optimistic that those things are going to happen, or are we going to be having this conversation again in 2, 5, whatever years?
You know what? I'll be honest today. I don't have that confidence. Today, maybe just because I'm frustrated, maybe it's because it's the aggregate amount of just frustration and the barrage of so much negative information. It's not because the campus doesn't know. It's not because the chancellor hasn't come to the community. It's not because we haven't said in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, we need more people of color in key positions. We need curriculum to change. We need training of faculty and staff. They know what to do. So my issue is, if they know and if they want to do it, why have they not done it? And the only hope I have is not necessarily in their goodwill, but I'm hoping that national embarrassment will push them to do something that's different. But right now, I'm not banking on goodwill.
Reverend G, thanks for being with us again today.
Thank you.
That's Alex G, pastor at the Fountain of Life Covenant Church in Madison. He's the founder and CEO of Nehemiah and the chair of the Justified Anger Coalition. Turns to talk about his open letter to UW-Madison officials about the institution's response to a costume with a Barack Obama mask and a noose at the Badgers game over the weekend. You can find a link to his piece on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up, we'll get the latest in national politics with Harry Enten from 538. We'll get to that in just a bit here on Central Time.